on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you from Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM, statewide on Civic Media. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're getting right back to the front lines of history in the making. And we're going to the telephone lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Hey, Matt, thanks again for all the information that you provide, and I'd like to return it by providing a little bit more information. This was garnered off of a site called Empty Wheel, which is written by a journalist who specializes in legal matters, and she was looking at the situation of classified documents and more information about that. She had this really interesting point that if there are nuclear documents, these documents, under the rubric of the Atomic Energy Act, Trump cannot declassify them by himself. They are what are termed restricted documents. So you have classified documents, but within that, there is a section of material that's related to nuclear secrets is described as restricted documents. He can't declassify them by himself, and simply to have it in his possession edges into the world of espionage. You can't have it in your possession. And I'm thinking back, Matt, to the fact that you have been helpful in describing Mar-a-Lago, not just as a house, it's a compound. It's a huge place with a lot of people walking through, a lot of service employees walking through. And so we come back to the fact that if he had documents, these restricted documents, you know, unsecured, that he's not even supposed to have. You know, usually those sorts of documents are in, I think it's called a SCIF room, S-C-I-F, a room where you can't bring your phone, you can't do it, you have to walk into the room and be devoid of anything that you could use to copy these documents. And it's further designed, goes into detail of are they information about nuclear design or nuclear deployment? Because if it's about nuclear design, that gets us into an even more horrific, catastrophic place of here's this open compound that apparently didn't even have a padlock on his documents room. And right. What, you know, not just nuclear secrets, holy cow, who could get access to this room? So I added this into the mix just simply to say that it's not simply classified documents, but restricted documents that pertain to nuclear deployment and design that are one of the reasons why perhaps the FBI was looking at material and going, holy cow, we can't do this by subpoena anymore because he's not responding to subpoena. We have to send in the FBI under a search warrant, which is, you know, a big, big, big step. So at any rate, the site is called Empty Wheel if other people want to check it out. Thanks for all you do, Matt. Really appreciate it. And I'll listen to your thoughts about this off air.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. And I'm going to respond briefly, and then we're going to get to everybody else in line in order. You're absolutely right, and thank you for that level of detail, because we've been talking about that earlier in the first segment. I'm deeply concerned that there may have been espionage involved here. In other words, who takes nuclear documents? Think about it. I mean, the design, they're very complex. You're not going to understand them. I'm not going to understand them. Who's going to take copies of deployment issues? Unless it's to share them with somebody, to sell them. And who are the people who are interested in them? They're not going to be going to the UK or France or Germany. The people interested in them are China, Russia, Iran, and a few others, and God forbid, ISIS and people of that nature. And it is very disturbing. As Joe accurately points out, there are certain documents the president can't declassify. Never mind here that he didn't declassify any of this stuff. I mean, you can't just shave in the morning as president go, okay, I declassify this or retroactively declassify it. There's a process, a procedure. You stamp them classified. You notify the archives. That did not happen here. But Joe is absolutely accurate that with regard to nuclear secrets, and that's deployment or design, he can't declassify them. But here's another thing. He shouldn't have had them in his possession. The head of the CIA does not have them in his possession. J. John Brennan, the former head, was interviewed last night. He said, I don't even have those. There are a handful of very technical people. And if it ever became necessary for the president to have it, there's a way to. Somebody gave them to him. Somebody gave them to him. And he has them down there. And you're absolutely right, Joe. This is a compound. And he has them in this unlocked room. And apparently, and this has been testified to as well, he would show some of these things to insiders in the Republican Party, boasting about them. Look what I have. Boasting about them. This is a former president. The other thing I said earlier in the first segment is this. He doesn't have to Xerox them, or he doesn't have to email them to anybody. The Ruskies would come into the White House, and he wouldn't have any Americans there. That happened. Sergey Lavrov, the foreign minister, came in with his entourage. All that has to happen for him is to have money put in a bank account for him somewhere, you know, the Bank of Cyprus, which is this money laundering bank for the Ruskies, and then have somebody come in and say, do you have some documents? And he takes them in, he says, there they are, and then leaves the room. Guy pulls out his phone and takes pictures of him. If there is espionage in this case, if he shared this stuff with anybody, that is a concern. We're going back to the lines. Mary in Milwaukee, you're next. My friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mary?
Oh, hi, good morning. Yes, I wanted to respond to your earlier question about the special education teacher having his information removed about some renowned African-American historians. And so, I think it's just absurd, and it's really a guilt complex. Instead of it being called critical race theory, it needs to be called guilty complex theory. And I say that because I just returned from the Louvre in France, and also from the Prada in Spain, wow, two of the well-known museums. And it was just very enlightening, but it was also a little disturbing in a sense, because the history was told without the inclusion of, they did have some displays of Egypt, ancient Egypt, and ancient parts of Africa. But I thought about when you brought that up, is why is America, why are we, not we, but why is it that they have a problem with telling the truth, with telling history? Why is it excluded? As an African-American woman child going through school, in my textbooks, I read about every other ethnic group. And when it came to mine, it was very little information. And I thought about what happens to children when they read about other people's cultures, and yet there's very little to be proud of about theirs. That is so wrong. It's insidious in the development and the child development of an individual in terms of reaching their true potential. And so to have an education system that does not embrace the landmarks or the historical achievements of various cultures, inclusive of everyone, is wrong. It's insidious, and America needs to stop. And racism will surely bring this country to its knees. And we will see that it will slowly begin to happen more and more. And so, no, it is not the critical race theory. It is a guilty complex of human trafficking, of bondage. And I could go on and on, but we need to celebrate all cultures, and white America, who's displaying sort of racist attitude, needs to correct its mentality and get out of that low common denominator and raise its bar. That's what I have to say.
Mary, that is the most compelling testimony I have ever received on this show from someone, and it's your lived experience. I'm very grateful for your calling in, and I'm hoping you call in a lot in the future, and I want to comment on it. I could not have actually put it better myself, and I've thought about these issues for a long time. These youngsters were special needs. They were children with autism, and they were children with Down syndrome and other special needs. And as Mary pointed out, and in her experience growing up, and you go to school, where's the pride in your culture? Where's the pride in you? You see plenty of pride in a lot of other people and not you. And so here, this teacher decided, well, I'm going to put up pictures of Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and John F. Kennedy were friends, and all three were assassinated. I'm going to put up a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King. Put up a picture of Colin Powell, Secretary of State. I'm going to put up a picture of Harriet Tubman, a great figure. They're thinking of putting her on the $20 bill, you know. They're thinking of putting her on the $20 bill. And I'm going to put up George Washington Carver, a great scientist. In the 19th century, for a black guy to be a scientist, he was denied education at all. And this guy did more scientifically than most people. This is a matter to be proud of. And then Mary of Madison called in, and not Mary of Madison, Millie of Madison called in before and went online and read the whole Pensacola article and pointed out to me, which I had not known and which I'm glad to hear, this teacher also had a picture of Barack Obama on his desk. Barack Obama is president of the United States. He was elected twice, for Pete's sake. Yes, he was the first African-American president of the United States. He was also a very recent president and a great president. For this sin under critical race theory, which Mary accurately describes as guilty conscience theory, two agents come in from the school district, And they go, I hear you have some black folks up on the blackboard. We're going to take them down. And he took them all down. Dr. Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, George Washington Carver, Colin Powell. And for good measure, they stole a picture off his desk. You know, I would have said, except, look, he's a special ed teacher in a rural part of Florida. He's 61. He's been there 15 years. How much political power does a guy have? They stole the picture off his desk. That's his picture. What if he had a picture of his wife on his desk? What if he had a picture of something else on his desk? Who cares? They stole it right off his desk because they would not tolerate a picture of anybody who's African-American anywhere in public in the school. Now, what that is these special ed kids are not going to understand any of this, but before at least they could look over and see people. One of the most poignant pictures I ever saw was in the Oval Office. There are a bunch of African-American kids, and one kid looks up at Obama and says, is your hair like my hair? And Obama bends over, and the kid, you know, rubs his hair. He said, it is, it is. That's being denied people under critical race theory. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. To Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to repeat or emphasize something I said in the first hour. Gotten a lot of interest on this. We talked about in the first hour how Iran has put out a bounty hit on two members of the Trump administration. They're people that I differ with and have criticized, but they're Americans. We're not going to put up with this. Hired a guy named Shahram Pourzafi, member of the Iran Islamic Revolutionary Guard, to kill Bolton and give him $500,000 and kill Mike Pompeo and give him $1 million. And I reported that FBI undercover agents had met with Shahram Pourzafi, had him on tape and building a case against him, and he got suspicious and he disappeared. But he's at large in the United States. And I want to repeat, because people have shown interest, I've written a novel called Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, Milwaukee Jihad, been published by Speaking Volumes Publishers. It's available, go on Amazon, go anywhere, we buy books. And if you're interested in it, the plot centers around a small group in Congress of legislators who decide to meet and authorize, without real apparent Democratic authority, a woman in the CIA, an agent who's top-notch, to use deadly force against people even before judicial process if she thinks it's in the interest of the United States. And that's not the law right now. That's contrary to the principles of a democratic society. But if you're interested in the history that I bring up on this station, and if you're interested in thinking of these issues at a deeper level and having a lot of fun doing it, because she's a glamorous CIA agent, and shall we say, takes care of business. Get Milwaukee Jihad, G-I-H-A-D, Milwaukee Jihad by Matt Flynn. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a good read. Anyway, I am very grateful for those calls that came in. Mary of Madison, boy, that was a heart-wrenching call that you made. You went through an educational system where you were not given exposure to the great people in the culture. And in Florida, this just happened as well. Again, it's wrong. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good morning, Matt. Great show today. A little bit on what Joe was talking about, it seems the Republican Party can't claim they back the blue anymore because Trump and some of these senators effectively worked a gentleman up to go into an FBI office and shoot people. And that's just a sad thing. But I don't want to talk too much about Trump. He's a waste of my breath. I want to thank Joe Biden. In fact, still every morning when I wake up, I thank God that he's president and that other guy's gone. For the climate bill, you have to read the whole thing. But if you do, this climate bill is a wonderful thing for everybody. You have a great weekend, Matt, and thanks for your show. It's just fantastic, and your callers are cool.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, and I want to build on that. A guy goes into the Cincinnati FBI office to kill FBI agents. He'd been posting on Truth Social. His name is Ricky Schiffer. And he had been on January 6th, he'd been one of the insurrectionists. They found that out. He goes in with a nail gun, whatever that is, to shoot FBI agents. They return fire. He flees in a car. The police go after him. They have a shootout. He's hiding in a cornfield shooting folks. And they said surrender, and they try to do it in non-lethal means, and ultimately they had to shoot him, and he died. Now, I have a challenge, and I'm going to say it right now. Where are Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson on this? Where are Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson, who now are the leaders of the Republican Party in the state, denouncing the attempt to assassinate FBI agents? Where are they? Where is the outrage? Let me tell you what Ron Johnson did. When he was asked, he attacked Joe Biden. I'm not kidding. Attacked Joe Biden. He said Joe Biden wasn't aware of or know in advance about the execution of the search warrant, which was true because he was not. They did not tell anybody. They're not supposed to tell anybody. And here's what Ron Johnson said, quote, either he's lying to us again. This is Biden he's talking about. This is Ron Johnson saying this about Biden. Either he's lying to us again or he's so detached from things he shouldn't be present. In other words, he should have been told. And then if Biden had been told, then Ron Johnson would have attacked him for that. Ron Johnson, where is your outrage about the attempted murder of FBI agents in Cincinnati? Where is your outrage against Steve Scalise, the number two guy in the Republican House leadership, who was asked, what about these calls on the internet to murder FBI agents and their families? And Scalise said, well, they were rogue agents. They were rogue agents. This is what Scalise said. They were not rogue agents. They followed a search warrant signed by a federal judge. These were not rogue agents. But when you have a Republican Party that is not willing to say something as simple as, I don't think law enforcement should be murdered. I mean, that's pretty basic, pretty basic. Tim Michaels, where are you? Why haven't you said anything? A guy named Ricky Schiffer, an insurrectionist on January 6th, in Cincinnati, goes to the FBI office to murder FBI agents. They exchange fire. He ultimately dies in a shootout. Where is your unequivocal declaration? Where's the declaration that would have come from Abraham Lincoln? It would have come from any Republican up till now. It would have come from Tommy Thompson. It would have come from George H.W. Bush. We cannot tolerate the murder of law enforcement. Where is that declaration? You're now the head of the Republican Party. Where is that declaration? Where is it from Ron Johnson. Where is it from Ron Johnson? Ron Johnson is, he attacks Biden and says that he's either lying or detached. And then what he does is Steve Scalise attacks the FBI agents who were attempted to be murdered. He attacks the FBI agents who were attempted to be murdered. You cannot have law enforcement subject to these death threats. This back the blue stuff is all BS in the Republican Party. When push comes to shove, you cannot have assassinations of law enforcement. And yet that is all over the internet right now. And Republicans are countenancing it. Republicans are saying, they're rogue. No, they were not rogue agents. Scalise is a rogue congressman. Johnson's a rogue senator. And Michaels is a rogue nominee. You are rogue unless you can stand up with a spine and say it is wrong. That is my challenge. When are you going to say it's wrong to kill law enforcement? The lines are alive. I know you're there. Do not hang up. We're going to a quick break. A lot more back here for the break, and I'll go right to the lines. Do not hang up. 844-967-2789.
If you are struggling with credit card debt, we can help.
In the year back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Don't hang up. We're going to take you in order. First up was Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Robert of West Allis?
Good morning. I think with this latest incident at the field office, the media has some culpability here for sure. You have posts on Fox saying things like, oh, well, maybe they planted stuff. They went in there with backpacks. Even though there's no evidence to support that, there's no reality to support that. We need to do something at the federal level or congressional level where these people get fined into oblivion or they get taken off the air. Been using the public airwaves, whether it's on TV or on radio, is a privilege. We're perfectly okay fining people for swearing, right? But it's okay to go on there and then just provide lies and disinformation. And this went on for over, 6 to 8 months on Fox, where they continued to lie about the election, whip these people up in a frenzy, then basically pointed them like a loaded gun at the Capitol. But we need some responsible politicians, not just in the Democratic Party, the independents, and even some of the moderate Republicans, to say, enough is enough. Let's get these people off the air, or let's fine them, because, their actions should have consequences. Right now, they just lie with impunity. These people have no integrity, no morality, no ethics, total lack of honesty, and we're supposed to put up with this? We have to correct the media, or regardless of how many elections we have, it's not really going to change the temper or the tempo of the country in terms of where things are headed.
Yeah, you're making an excellent point. And here's the thing, the difficulty with, retaliating for false statements. Let me give you an example. On the right wing, and Fox is part of it, they'll say, well, the FBI planted documents in there. Oh, really? It's false, of course. And that was a lie. To me, the issue is what Merrick Garland does. Okay, we'll release the list of what we got. And not only is it a lie that we planted anything, but here's what we have, and then see his response. And then Trump right now is deciding whether or not to oppose that. So that's number one. Number two, Fox is a problem. It puts out lies that are very destructive and fans social media. And I think it's incumbent on the other networks to say Fox was lying. They all sneak around. They go, well, there's no basis for what's. Come on. They're lying. Okay. They're lying. Next up, Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jean?
Good morning, Matt. Great show. And I'll tell you, I just about fell out of my chair when I saw some of the information that had to be released. We have been conned for so long. And this isn't politics as usual. This was the crime of the century that continues every single day. It's criminal activity that happens in the state of Wisconsin with a perpetuated lie and threat of overturning the 2020 election. I mean, this is just ludicrous. And every goddamn one of those lying, you know what, because I'm not going to get you fined by saying what I really feel, they should all be criminally charged, to include Ron Johnson and every single lying son of a gun that's put out lies, and also who takes part in trying to pass off fake electors. I mean, this is nuts.
Right.
Could you imagine,
Jean,
if they were
what's great about you, and the Republicans should know this, Gene watches everything. If there's a committee hearing, if there's a subcommittee hearing, Gene is on it, and frequently will call me offline and feed me some of the data that she's seen. Gene, I can't thank you enough for your passion, and I can't thank you enough for your attention to all these issues. Jack of Milwaukee, my friend, you're up next, my friend. What's up, Jack?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country. I'd like to expand a little bit on your comment when Ron Johnson called our president a liar. Ron Johnson lacks common sense. Good common sense is, when law enforcement agency is going to pull a raid, you don't publish it in the newspaper 2 weeks ahead of time. You're not going to catch any criminals that way. But that was just my comment. And you got a great show as usual, and a lot of information there. And thank God you're on the air. Bless you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly right. And for Ron Johnson to say, they ask him, what do you think about the guy that tried to kill FBI agents? And he goes, well, Biden's a liar. Come on. First of all, that's disgusting. But secondly, I'm calling out Ron Johnson, Tim Michaels, both of you, the heads of the Republican Party, basically right now. Where are you on the attempted assassination of FBI agents in Cincinnati? Do you unequivocally denounce it? Steve Scalise, they asked Steve Scalise, he goes, well, and this was not about Cincinnati, this was about Mar-a-Lago, well, they're rogue agents. No, they weren't rogue agents. That was a lie. From Scalise, that was a lie, and it fanned the flames of people who had murdered law enforcement. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. You're next up. What's in your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Well, continuing along the same lines, and they're saying that on social media, that's what I call it, because when I think of social, I think of nice things. You know, let's be social. So I call it unsocial. But they say that it's ramped up to about the same peak we were at right before the January 6th. And then you see this thing in Cincinnati. I guess my question for people like Romney that sits on his hands, Portman, who's not even running and not saying anything, too, let's carry this to its furthest. In other words, what they really want. If they had Trump back in power, he would want to be there until he died. Now, he's a cultist, not a president. And let's just say all of a sudden he changes on a dime. You're no longer in the vote. And he doesn't like you. You know, the guy is borders on paranoid schizophrenic, in my opinion, and you really want him to be in power for the rest of his days. Stand back and ask yourself, what this country would look like if he were to get reelected. He's already said he'll get rid of countless people, you know, in civil service jobs and on and on and on. You know, it's not just about him being, he wants to be a supreme leader. He's a fascist dictator, period.
Good point. Very, very good point. And here's my own view on that, Dick. I think if it turns out that he did take nuclear secrets, you know, top secret, you know, there's classified, there's confidential, secret, top secret, you can get a top secret clearance. Top secret doesn't begin to scratch the surface. And as Joe of Madison pointed out, as she read that that information, there are things above top secret that can't be declassified. They have to do with nuclear weapons, and they're in a category of their own. The head of the CIA doesn't see this stuff. The president normally doesn't see this stuff. What the question I have that nobody has asked is, how did Trump get it? This stuff isn't lying around his office. Somebody in the government who had access to nuclear secrets had to give it to him. Now, who was that? Who has the authority to do that? Was it somebody who was in league with Trump? Or is it somebody who was just saying, oh, I'm just following orders? And then Trump took them. And look, here's the deal. Let's be kind of blunt about this. They tried to get it through subpoena. It turns out that they subpoenaed this spring for stuff that he hadn't turned over. He turned over 12 boxes, said that was all, and they sent him a subpoena and said, you're wrong. That wasn't all. You know, they have an informant now, and there's more stuff. We want it. Crickets. Then they met in June, and they lied again. Crickets. And then what happened was the informant goes, well, it's in this office, in this office, in this office, in this storeroom, and it's nuclear stuff. And then what are you going to do? You got to go in and take it. They try to do it by subpoena. So they go in, and they deliberately didn't try to embarrass them. They deliberately didn't put FBI on. They didn't put out a press. They didn't do anything. So what happens? Then he what? Complains? He complains because they went searching for nuclear documents that by law he cannot declassify. They're not just classified. And under the Espionage Act, you may not know this, it doesn't matter if it's classified. If you hurt the country's defense by turning information over to an enemy, it doesn't matter if it's classified or not. Dick, my feeling is if this guy did this, even his most ardent supporters are not going to tolerate a president who committed espionage for a foreign country. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Snowfly.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The poll just came out. Asking a very good poll. This is one that had a lot of respondents. Asking what people's opinions was of the Mar-a-Lago execution of the search warrant. 49% of people approved it. 37% did not approve it. 13% had no opinion. But the no opinions tend to break with the same percentages of the others if you really press them. And this is Democrats and Republicans and independents, everybody. But they did a separate question about independents, and it was very similar. 47% of them approved it, and only 33% of them disapproved it. Now, 49% said that they believe that there is evidence that a crime was committed, 49%. 39% thought the motivation was to damage Trump's career. So by 10 points, people in this country understand that it was evidence that a crime was committed. And by 12 points, people in this country approve of the execution of the search warrant, approve of it. Go to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Thanks, Matt, for that revelation about the poll. So we can safely say the majority of Americans want Trump investigated. The minority of Americans don't. The minority of Americans support Trump, and they support terrorism. If it's a collective program by the Democrats or anybody who doesn't want those people in office to control or have the upper hand in the elections, we got to stay united on that front. We've got to stay united on that front, because if we don't, and heaven help us, Trump gets in, our democracy right now hangs by a thread. It isn't woven tight. It isn't totally secure. It's never been as unsecure as it is right now. Now, if they want the culture of America to change, well, then you let these characters in. But remember, they want terrorism. Somebody's already taken shots at the FBI. They hated it when BLM wanted to defund the police. Now they want to defund FBI. I just don't get there. They have no the word common sense. So if we stay united, just remember, guys, it's only 90 days. It's in a lifetime. And if we can have a blue wave, a blue tsunami in fall, America is back. Thanks, Matt. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Yeah, Bill, that's a very, very good comment. I want to build on that a couple of things and translate it into what practically we can do. When Bill says our democracy is hanging by a thread, he's absolutely right. A number of historians, several of them, met with Biden, and they privately warned him of that. And we frequently compare the present mood to Berlin in the 1930s, and there's some parallels, but the better parallel is America in the 1850s. The America in the 1850s led up to the election of Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. And as you got through it, you had things like the Dred Scott decision, where a black guy got free from slavery, and the Supreme Court, it was the equivalent of the kind of Supreme Court we had now, said, no, a black person can't be a free citizen. And then they had the Kansas-Nebraska Act, remember that, where they were going to impose slavery in Kansas. And people said, enough's enough. There's a Fugitive Slave Act, and some slave catchers came to Milwaukee, believe it or not. Guy had escaped, and then they put him in jail under the law, which had been passed by these segregationists. And about 1,000 Milwaukee men went down there and tore the jail apart, tore the guy out, and got him up to Canada. People said, enough's enough. The problem is those kinds of decisions ended up in war. And Bill is exactly correct that the people that are pushing Trump and pushing all this are really pushing for that kind of sentiment in the 1850s that led to a civil war. We can't have it. We do have to stay together. And two ways to do it. One, keep in mind, it's the judges, a lot of them, the Republican judges, that are keeping us back on democracy. At the federal level, they are going to be considering a case from North Carolina in October, where it's expected they may say that a state legislature, which are all gerrymandered now, can do whatever it wants on voting, and nobody else in the state, not the state Supreme Court, not the state attorney general, not the state governor, and no federal court can second guess it. So they can say, well, you know, not only can be drop boxes, but the electors will be picked by the gerrymandered legislature, not in a presidential election. They can say that if a state wants to, it can say there can be one voting location in each county or in each city. So Phoenix, and they tried this in Arizona, one voting location for many millions of people. Can you imagine? They say, oh, well, but there's a lot of, Rattlesnake Creek up there. The other part of the state has one. Yeah, but they have 80 people in Rattlesnake Creek. You know, they're going to do this stuff. This Supreme Court will do it. And at some point, we're going to have a challenge. It's an illegitimate Supreme Court, in my opinion, illegitimately confirmed. And in my opinion, we're going to have to talk about how we challenge them this fall. On a shorter basis, we have an election coming up for state Supreme Court. Judge Janet of Milwaukee, Janet Protasiewicz, great prosecutor. She is a very tough prosecutor. Now she's been a judge in Milwaukee County for some years. She was a prosecutor for more than 20 years, is running with the full support of a lot of Democrats and a lot of independents, a lot of moderate Republicans around the state. Keep that in mind. Janet Protasiewicz, long word, we call her Judge Janet. That's who I'm voting for next April, primaries in February. If she gets in, the person that's not running, Pat Rogensack, was one of the people who voted not to certify Biden. So that would turn the court, if Janet gets in, 4-3 the other way in the central election. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, it's not only, pardon me, it's not only the defunding, they don't use that phrase, race, because of the police. I mean, that we don't actually mean defund the police. We mean reform the police into a more effective and humane way of doing things. And it is just,
that not only are they looking at ignoring the will of the people for if the Supreme Court goes the way you suggest it might go, as far as for the North Carolina case, ignoring the will of the people. Not it's not just the judges and all that. They'll ignore the electorate. I mean that because it has become that you know the people get to choose who the president is. You know, through the farce, it's become the Electoral College, but we still get to choose the president. And they don't really believe in democracy. I mean, pure and simple, these guys do not. These federal society freaks. And they should have to be called anti-federalists because that's the view they kind of take up rather than who the actual federalists were. They are a clear and present danger to democracy. And if they bring, you know, if this kind of decision is something that would bring the republic down, I think, if they start ignoring the will of the people. I mean, that because they could just say, we don't care what the election says in any election. Doesn't matter which one it was. The state legislature will decide what the election results are, or their hand-picked troll of a secretary of state, and they'll say, this is what the election results are, regardless of what the numbers are. Maybe they won't even give us the numbers anymore, because they say, we really don't need to have that. This is
No, you're hitting something very important. In other words, what they're going to do as a result of this case is say that these state legislatures can do whatever they want. And it'll only matter in about six states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona, in six states. And in those six states, they can say there is no presidential election anymore. We will determine it in this in the state legislature. The second thing is, remember this, they've already said, Michaels has already said that the legislature should determine the electors. This is Michaels running for governor. And the Republicans have already said that they are going to put a resolution out there to say that the lieutenant governor, treasurer, secretary of state, and superintendent of public instruction are no longer elected, appointed by the governor. That's toxic. If Scott Walker had that ability, or Rebecca Clayfish, or Tim Michaels, you know what would happen. You can't have that. You must keep your right to an election. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Never give up your right to vote. Ever, ever, ever. I don't care what they say in a resolution or a referendum or anything else. Never, ever, ever give up your right to vote. So that is what is on the horizon. But it's a Supreme Court that is itself illegitimate. Amy Comey Barrett was rammed through in the lame duck by a president who lost the election, voted on by some senators who weren't going to be serving anymore. And she's going to be in a 5-4 majority to say that we're not going to be able to vote anymore for president, because if six states go that way, doesn't matter what Alabama and New York does. I mean, we know what they're going to do. That's what's on the horizon, folks. That is what is on the horizon. And they're going to use just the fact that an unelected Supreme Court, they think, can do whatever it wants. There's nothing in the Constitution that the Supreme Court can overrule anything. I don't know if you knew that. They can't overrule. It doesn't say in the Constitution they can overrule a state or federal law of any sort. They just said they could in the 19th century, and they didn't do it very prominently until the Dred Scott decision, and suddenly they're getting away with this. Do not let them upend our democracy. One good final note, gas is down to $3.97 a gallon. It's down 68 cents in 1 month. Joe Biden's doing a great job in inflation, great job in handling the economy under difficult foreign policy circumstances. Coming to the end of the show, great call-ins, and always have a good weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back on Monday, same time, same place. I'm signing off for today.
So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, tries to run, but he don't.